Well, hallelujah, saints. This morning, we ended with seeing some of the preciousness of our wonderful, wonderful, all-inclusive Christ. And we ended with our wonderful Christ, remember, in His all-conquering resurrection. He became the first in resurrection as the head of the body. And then three things He accomplished in His resurrection. He brought humanity into divinity. He regenerated every single one of us. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
And He, what? Dispensed Himself as the life-giving Spirit into each of us so that we could be part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
He became the life-giving Spirit to be the content and reality of the body. So my point here is this, that we ended with the matter of His resurrection. We wanted to see the precious person and the work of Christ, eternity past in creation, incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection. And ultimately in resurrection, He accomplished these three things, and it's all together in resurrection for the reality and the content of the body of Christ. So the Lord's aim, His goal in all His person and work is to gain His body. His goal is His body. Now we come to the fellowship this afternoon, how we can cooperate with Him. His desire is His body, and we want to cooperate with Him for the building up of His wonderful body. So we come now to the scriptural way to meet and to serve. And this is titled on your, you know, in your book, Special Fellowship. But it really shows us in a practical way how we can cooperate with the Lord, how we can cooperate and coordinate with each other for the building up of the body of Christ. The Lord said, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. But when you get to the book of Ephesians and other epistles, you see we are coordinating with Him and with each other to cooperate in that with Him for that building up of His body. And His body is just the increase of Himself by the dispensing and the distributing of Himself into each other. So that He Himself is enlarged, He's increased, He's reproduced, He's multiplied, He's duplicated, and this is for His testimony in this universe. Amen!
Amen.
Okay, little quiz. Somebody just tell me, what's the clearest chapter in the whole Bible about being born again? Huh? John chapter 3, good. Another point about John chapter 3 that most people don't ever remember is verse 30. 3:6 is about that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. But 3:30 says, He, that's Christ, must increase. He must increase. And this is so that He might gain His counterpart in verse 29, His bride. He must increase. His increase is for His body. When Micah has, you know, His body, then He's not just here as a head, but He's got His full expression. And not only the increase becomes His body, but becomes His counterpart.
Amen.
For His satisfaction in love. Thank
Amen.
You, brother. So, the burden of the Lord, even in our regeneration, our being born again, is for His increase. And we, as believers, must have this same burden that in coordination with Him, coordination with one another, we would be here all together for His increase. I'm here this afternoon, not just again, just for a nice special fellowship. I'm here that He must increase.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I'm here because he must increase. That's why we're here. We're not here just for our own need, not just for our own accomplishment, our own whatever. We're here all together for his satisfaction. When you are here for his need, his satisfaction, oh, you're a happy Christian. You're a really happy Christian. So we come to the scriptural way to meet and to serve. Okay, I think the outline will just go through, and I'll just touch according to the Lord as he leads, according to the leading of the wonderful living one as the Spirit. The God-ordained way to build up the body of Christ is through four major items, which are big missings in today's Christianity. They're big missings. Now, what we're saying by this is many Christians have no realization of this at all. But rather, there's a concept that only certain people can do certain things. Every one of us is not too good for anything except just sit there and be quiet. And the Lord speaks to this. He speaks to this right away in the book of Revelation chapter 2. He speaks very boldly. He speaks about the Nicolaitans. The teaching of the Nicolaitans. And the teaching of the Nicolaitans means Nico. Nico means conqueror. Laitans means laity. In other words, just some do everything, some just lay around. It's Nico and laity. Just a few do everything, but the rest are just... But the Lord needs a body, just like our physical body. Every single member is critical. That doesn't mean that some may have a critical function, but every single member is needed for the expression of this body, for the expression of the person. So, these four missings are very critical that we would see. We would see, and we would do what we could to cooperate with the Lord and be one with the Lord and with each other so that these four missings would not be among us. And concerning this, in Revelation 2, the Lord said, concerning this matter of the Nicolaitans, he, not me, but he said, which thing I hate. No, not me. This is the Lord as the Spirit. He was very strong. I hate this thing. I hate that members of the body's function would be killed, would be annulled. I hate that just a few would do everything and all the rest are bystanders. I want a body. I want a body, not just where the shoulder functions. Everything, the shoulder does everything. Every member is needed for the proper expression. For the proper expression. So, these four points here are very critical for the sake of the Lord's testimony and his healthy expression in and through his body. Now, the Lord desires to recover the functioning of all the members of the body of Christ in the priesthood of the gospel of God. So, brothers and sisters, not my word, but the Lord's word, the first speaking to the seven churches in Asia, in the book of Revelation, he touches this thing of not having the scriptural way, not taking care of the scriptural way to serve and to meet. And he calls this thing something that he hates. I tell you, if he hates it, I hate it. Amen. What he loves, I love. What he hates, I hate. Amen. We're not here to be wishy-washy and political. We're here all together for his heart's desire. Amen. And his heart's desire is his body. Amen. And his body is where everybody can function according to their measure. Amen. According to their measure. The toe has its measure. Shoulder has its measure. Everybody has the measure, but every member is in function. Amen. Every member is enjoying the heavenly circulation of the flow of the life supply. Now, the recovery, the Lord desires to recover the functioning of all the members of the body in the priesthood of the gospel of God. And then, 1, 2, 3, we need to preach the gospel to save sinners, offer them to God as acceptable sacrifices. We need to bring the believers up to lead them to present themselves to God as living sacrifices. And we need to warn and teach every saint in all wisdom to present each one full grown in Christ. Let us read Romans 15:16. Okay? Romans 15:16. Thank you, Lord, for Romans 15:16. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, as we're turning to Romans 15:16 again, let me refer you back to Revelation 2. When the Lord spoke about this matter of the works of the Nicolaitans, or the teaching of the Nicolaitans, he said, which thing I hate? He said, I need some normal believers. And who are they? Overcomers. He who hears what the Spirit says to him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. Will I give to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So the Lord desires, He needs our ear in this matter. Especially the ear of young people. So that we could be normal, healthy believers. Responding to Him for His need. What He hates, we hate. We don't hate any persons. Don't anybody in this room misunderstand. We don't hate any persons. We're talking about a system, a technique, something that the enemy would use subtly to annul the function of the members of the body of Christ so that the Lord would not have His substantial expression. So may we cooperate with the Lord for this. Everything of the Lord's person and work is for this expression. Now we want to cooperate with Him for this expression, for this testimony and this reality. Now 15:16, let's read 15:16 with a strong spirit. Go. Amen. The first aspect of the God-ordained way is that we would live a life being burdened for sinners to be saved. A life of preaching the gospel. It may be by a lot of words, it may be by a few words, but we would live a life of practicing. A life of practicing preaching the gospel, even so that those who are brought to the Lord, those who come to the Lord, could be offered to God in Christ as food to God. They could be acceptable sacrifices to God. This is tremendous. Brothers and sisters, this is the deep burden on the Lord's heart, is that not just somebody among us, there's just one or two here that are evangelists, they do all the preaching of the gospel. The Lord's desire is that every one of us would be a little evangelist. A little evangelist. There's in Ephesians 4, I always do it this way. The Lord gave some as gifts, larger gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. Put it together, it's a pest. And they called Paul a pest. But the Lord's desire is not just that being sent, you know, prophesying, evangelizing, shepherding, teaching would just be in the hands of a couple of people, a few people, gifted ones. Every one of us would be a little a pest. Every one of us would be a little apostle. Every one of us would be a little prophet, a little evangelist, a little shepherd, teacher. In other words, when you go to school, don't just go to school. Go to school. When you go to class, don't just go to class. Go to class. You go to class as a little evangelist, a little walking embodiment of good news. Amen. So, this most critical matter here is that we would be those who are, according to verse 6, a laboring priest of the gospel of God. God desires to be fed with people, sinners who are regenerated by Him, redeemed by Him, regenerated by Him. This is food to God. To have a normal Christian life, we are here to give God food. So we want to be laboring priests of the gospel, speaking the gospel in little ways. It means to the bank teller, it means to a classmate. But let me ask you a question, quiz, okay? What is the first way to preach the gospel to your classmate? I don't hear any answers. That's good. Open your mouth. That's very good. That's true. Your outward living. That's true. Okay. Okay. What'd you say? Yeah. Pray. No doubt. All your other answers are correct. There's no problem with those answers. But the first thing is that we would be those who are praying. Anybody that knows, quiz again, anybody knows Romans 1:9? This is one of my favorite verses. Romans 1:9. Listen to this verse. God is my witness. He's my witness. He's witnessing with me right now. God is my witness whom I serve, not in a letter way, but in my spirit. In my spirit. And in what? In the gospel of His Son. And what? Making mention of you in my prayers always. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the first aspect of being a normal, healthy, gospel-announcing member of the body and laboring in the priesthood of the gospel is to be praying for our friends. If we're praying, actually what it does, it brings us into a state of readiness. It's not that we're so eloquent. It's not that we're so wonderful. We have all the words. We know how to meet every friend's need. No, it's just that we're in a state of readiness. One of the main things to make us ready is we are praying. We're praying. So, God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of His Son, making mention of you always in my prayers. I tell you, the key to living a life of laboring in the priesthood of the gospel is exercising our spirit to pray. And of course, speaking is critical. I think, did you say speaking? I don't remember. Somebody did. Anyway, all of these are critical, but the most basic thing is our praying. Being one with the Lord. We're in coordination with the Lord. So, saints, the first aspect of the God-ordained way is that we would be burdened with the Lord and with each other in a coordinated way. Philippians is a book on the experience and enjoyment of Christ. But Philippians 1:5 says, the way to experience and enjoy Christ is in a coordinated way with one another. As we coordinate with each other, as we work together with each other for the advancement of the gospel and the furtherance of the gospel, we become people who really, really enjoy the Lord. The experience and the enjoyment of Christ is helping sinners to be saved and able to even bring them to the point where offering them to God as food to God. This should be a normal part of our daily living. The Lord wants to normalize us. And this would not be a matter that just depends on a few big evangelists. But the Lord desires every one of us would be a little evangelist. Praise the Lord! We all want to be laboring priests in the priesthood of the gospel. So Romans 15:16 is very good. Then look at number 3. We need to warn and teach every saint in all wisdom to present everyone full grown. Let's look at Acts 20:31. Acts 20:31. Thank you, Lord, for Acts 20:31. Amen. And Paul was speaking to them about Ephesus. He says, "Therefore watch, remembering that for 3 years, night and day, I did not cease admonishing each one with tears." We would have this kind of burden for people, this kind of burden. The Lord wants to fill us with a burden for our friends, even to the point where there are tears. Let me ask you, when's the last time you shed any tears for any friends? It begins with prayers, and it goes on with tears. We have that kind of burden for people. The Lord must increase. But He needs us to be one with Him and in coordination with each other, praying, and also with a burden that even affects our whole being with tears, with tears. Then the Lord has a way to really increase us. So we want to live a gospel-preaching living. Amen. When you go to the bank, when you go to class, no matter what you do, we live a gospel-preaching living. Amen. You have to go places every day. So, brothers and sisters, what's the secret of living a gospel-preaching living? I'm going to ask you, what's the secret? What's the secret of living a gospel-preaching living? Huh? Okay, I'll save you. That's exactly what I was going to say. Enjoying the Lord! If day by day, moment by moment, we're practicing to enjoy the Lord. For example, if Matt and I have to go shopping, we go somewhere, and he and I are enjoying the Lord, I tell you, something's going to happen. Wherever we go, something's going to happen. Of course, the more we practice for something to come out of our being to others, the more our, you could say, talent gets developed. The more we get perfected. So we practice, we practice, we practice. Is there anybody in here that's really good in basketball? I'm sure there is, but they're shy. Well, anyway, whatever sport you're good in, it didn't happen overnight. Right? You became good by lots of practicing. Just practice, practice, practice. So we would be those who, the main practice is every day, love the Lord. We love Him. We love Him. And we, as we love Him and enjoy Him as the tree of life, we become those who overcome not being a normal, healthy member of speaking and dispensing Christ as the good news. Amen! You know, when I had the experience when I first came to the Lord of some of my friends, in fact, getting saved, and the whole high school football team that I was captain of, they all came to a gospel meeting at the end of the season. And I had a lot of things, maybe a little bit unusual, that happened, but it was a great help to me. But little by little, I realized I couldn't maintain that because I didn't know how to enjoy the Lord. But when I came to the church life and I came under this ministry and I began to realize this wonderful Christ, His person and His work is so awesome and I just love Him and I enjoy Him, and that every day as the Spirit I could experience Him and enjoy Him, my whole life got revolutionized. So I was a school teacher with six other brothers and just going to school every day, teaching, you know, driving a half hour to work and calling on the Lord and singing the whole way and pray reading and fellowshipping with each other. When you get to school, you're a different teacher. And you can't help it. And even in your classroom, although it was against the law, you end up doing, you know, Christ has put on human nature and become, anyway, I have to get adjusted a little bit by the principal and the superintendent of schools. But praise the Lord! The main point is, it wasn't like many things happen, brothers and sisters. Many things happen in McDonald's. We brothers go for lunch. We end up singing to the whole McDonald's. But we didn't plan on it. It's just when you are enjoying the Lord, you're not thinking about it. You're not so analytical. If you think so much, you may analyze to the point where you're paralyzed. We need to be those who enjoy the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord! Yeah. And He would be good news to us. When He's good news to us, then we spontaneously become good news to each other. If Matt and I practice to enjoy the Lord, you know what will happen? We're coordinated.
Amen.
We're coordinated in Christ. And there's impact there. So our life would be a life of preaching the gospel. Now, B, the Lord desires to recover the organic building up of the body. Not only helping people to be saved, brothers and sisters, helping people to be saved, but to feed them. So we want to help people to be saved, and then we want to be those who feed them. You know, Matthew 24:45 is a tremendous verse. And the Lord was speaking to the disciples. He was telling them, you want to be ready for my coming back? You want to be ready for my coming back? One of the best ways to be ready for my coming back is wherever you go, give people food. Give them food. Don't just beat them over the head with laws and do's and don'ts, but give Spencer food. I love Spencer. I renamed him Dispenser. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Wherever we go, give each other food.
Amen.
Listen, if Mike and I are together and we practice to enjoy the Lord and even to feed each other, I know what we're not only ready for the gospel, we're ready to give others food.
Amen.
We're ready to help either others to be fed and nourished. So this is the second step in the scriptural way, is give them food, feed them. The organic building up of the body of Christ is the increase of the triune God in the believers for their growth in Christ. Isn't that good? Christ not only wants to increase by getting into people, but He wants to increase by making home in people. He must increase! How about we shout that two times? Hallelujah, He must increase. Hallelujah, He must increase. Hallelujah! He must increase. So we want to live a life in coordination with Him and each other where not only sinners are saved, but we're feeding them so that Christ could increase within them. Within them. The organic building up the body is through the members of the body feeding on the milk and food of the Holy Word. Let's open our Bibles to First Peter 2 for a moment. First Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Okay, First Peter 2, 2. Everybody that has it, let's read it together. As newborn babe, long for the guileless milk of the Word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation. Amen. Long for the guileless milk of the Word that you may grow. We want to help others to enjoy the Word, not as doctrine, not beating each other over the head, but milk.
Amen.
Food.
Amen.
Give them food.
Amen.
Wow, give them food. This is tremendous. Then verse 5, look, let's read 5 also. You also, as living are being built up as this animal. This goes along with Romans 15:16, that as we feed others, they become spiritual sacrifices to be offered up to God for His satisfaction. So it's not for my notoriety, it's not for my da-da-da-da-da-da, look how wonderful He is. No, we are here for God's satisfaction. Praise the Lord! When you walk in the truth of God's economy, you're not just for yourself. You are here for God's deep heart's desire. This is where our real joy is, where our real burden is. We need to minister Christ as life to others for the organic building up of the body of Christ. Minister Christ as life. But if we don't enjoy Him as life, it's hard to minister Him as life. So I'd like to take us, open your Bible to John 21, John 21, verse 15. Okay, John 21, 15. And you see two phrases there, brothers and sisters, two phrases. Peter, basically the Lord's telling Peter, Peter, I'm going to be leaving this earth. If you want to be kept and preserved for my coming, take care of two matters. Love me and feed and shepherd others. Otherwise, you'll do what Peter did earlier. He went fishing. Forget about being a Christian. Forget about the brothers. I'm out of here. But a healthy Christian, a normal Christian, is a person who feeds others. Give them food. So a normal Christian life is one who is one of loving the Lord and shepherding others. Loving the Lord and shepherding others. So I want to give you a number of pairs right here. Okay, are you ready? This is a normal Christian life. I always remember one time in Australia, Ricky and I, we are always together in Australia in December. And remember one time Ricky shared, and I always loved that, and I've spoken it, that all of us are not only vessels, but we are also channel vessels. We're channel vessels. And a verse to prove this is Ephesians 3:2. Ephesians 3:2 says, if indeed you've heard of the stewardship of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, the Christ who's in me is not only to me, but He's to me to go through me to you. He's to me for you. So just turn to your neighbor and say, hallelujah, neighbor, Christ is to me for you. To be a normal, healthy, functioning member, we need to enjoy the Christ who's to me for you. So, okay, I want to give you a few pairs. Okay. The first pair is C and G. This is Matthew 11, 28. And then Matthew 28:19. Matthew 11, 28 and Matthew 28:19. C and G. Matthew 11, 28 says, all who labor and are heavy laden, come. Come to me. Come to me. Every day we just want to be those, Lord, I love you. I just come to you. Oh, Lord. Every day, come. Even here while I'm speaking, I'm just coming. Amen. Come to me. Amen. Don't stay away. Come inwardly in my spirit. Come. Always come to Him. And then what's it say at the end of the book of Matthew? Go. So our Christian life is called come and go. In the middle of the book of Matthew, it says come. In the end of Matthew, it says go. So the more we come to enjoy this one, the more we become one with Him to go. So come and go. Amen? And then there's others, but for time's sake, I'll skip some of them. Okay, then in John 7:38, DNF. What's DNF? Drink and flow. It says, whoever believes in me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of water of life. So a normal, healthy life, Christian life, according to the God-ordained way, cooperating with the Lord for His burden to build up the body of Christ, is a life of come and go and a life of drink and flow. Amen. Drink and flow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I tell you, if you're really, really drinking, you cannot help but flow. Practice, brothers and sisters, never give up calling on the name of the Lord. You know, Brother Nee said, never take a time out from rejoicing in the Lord. Bob and I were really enjoying that. Always rejoice, unceasingly pray, and everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Be drinking Him. As we're drinking Him, spontaneously, He will flow. But sometimes, tell me the truth now. All of you, put your hand up if this is the truth for you too. Sometimes you don't feel like you're enjoying the Lord that much. Tell me. That's the truth, okay? But sometimes you don't feel like you're enjoying the Lord that much, but the Lord puts you in a situation where you need to flow to somebody. And as soon as you flow, the thirst comes back. Wow, right away. The desire to just drink the Lord is intensified. These two are very connected. In fact, in the life study of Exodus, it says, actually, flowing is even more critical than drinking. Because if you don't flow, your thirst will go downhill. We need to flow. These two really, really go together. So come and go, drink and flow, hallelujah, we can come and go. Come and go, drink and flow, hallelujah, we can come and go and drink and flow. Amen. They sang a new song and no man could learn it. Amen. And then at the end of John, well, we'll just put L&S, John 21:15, love the Lord and shepherd the sheep. Sometimes, tell the truth, how many of you feel sometimes your love for the Lord is not that great? Yeah, it's not that strong. But I tell you, you're in a situation where you have to shepherd somebody, what happens? Right away, the love is intensified. Amen! So we love and we shepherd. Okay, then we jump to this is Matthew. This is John. This is John. And I have others, but we'll, for time's sake, we'll. Okay, and then here's Ephesians. Yes, we'll just put to me for you. Ephesians 3:2. M and Y. Me for you. This is God's economy. On His side, it's His economy. On our side, it's our stewardship. So we want to be those who enjoy this Christ who is to me, for you. I am a channel vessel. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then I skipped one. B and R. B and R. B and R, 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding and reflecting. Wow, the more we're beholding this wonderful one who is the Spirit, the more we're reflecting Him. And the more we reflect Him, the more we want to behold Him. These two are inseparable. And then, there are others again, but I think we'll just skip over. But let's go to the last one. D. Well, let's see, not D. Sorry. Okay. C and D. Okay, they're not actual words that are found in the verse, but the end of the Bible. Revelation 22:17 says what? It says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come! There should always be a see in us, a call for the Lord's coming. That's why we're having this conference. We want the Lord to come back. Everybody that wants the Lord to come, to say amen!
Amen!
How about we say, amen! Come, Lord Jesus!
Amen!
Amen.
So
while we desire for the Lord to come back, while we call for His to come back, we also have a desire or a yearning for sinners to come and drink. On one hand, Lord, I love you and I want you to come as my bridegroom. I love you. On the other hand, we join him as a channel vessel to quench the thirst of the sinners who need to take the river of water of life.
Amen.
Anyway, I love these pairs, and there's actually about 12 of them. But it helps us to see a normal Christian life is to me for you. There's a balance there so that we can be normal members in the body of Christ according to the God-ordained way. Now, see, the Lord Jesus desires to recover the perfecting of the saints. Let's read 1, 2, 3 with a strong spirit. Go. Amen. So the perfecting of the saints in Ephesians 4:11 says he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds. Let's look at this verse. Let's look at Ephesians 4:11 and 12. Okay? Ephesians 4:11 and 12. Thank you, Lord, for Ephesians 4:11 and 12. Wonderful verses. Thank you, Lord. 11 and 12. Let's read these with a strong spirit. Go. And he himself gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as shepherds. And for what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry.
Unto the building up of the body of Christ.
All of us need the perfecting so that we can all be in the one unique work, which is the building up of the body of Christ. So the Lord said, I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. On the other hand, his desire is to build in and through and with the members of his body. And this is a perfecting work. So we want to be those who are preaching the gospel, feeding the sheep, shepherding others, and feeding and nourishing and also perfecting and equipping. So, brothers and sisters, when we come together like this, 330 to 50, something like that here, a good number. Some of you are not used to this big of a number. But even when there's time to give testimonies, boy, that's a good time. Practice. Nobody's perfect. Nobody. Every one of us is a learner. Anybody that thinks, I am professional, I know how to do everything, you're crazy. And if you have arrived at that point, you are probably in full degradation. But the Lord said the first words out of his mouth publicly were, blessed are those who are willing to be trained. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are always learning. Blessed are those who are always practicing. How many of you watched little kids grow up when they learn to walk, right? How many times do they fall? But once or after a couple of times, they just say, I quit. I'm not going to walk anymore. What? They fall hundreds of times, thousands of times. But you just practice. The Lord's desire is that we would just be in the enjoyment of Christ as the divine life organically. We would develop to be normal, healthy members of the body of Christ. So, in meetings, when the microphones are put out, wow, even sometimes you may feel, I don't know how to speak in front of, I tell you, just practice. Practice. Just practice. And thank the Lord, we have an environment to practice. We have an environment to practice. And everything is not just left to two or three or four people. But our desire is the Lord would gain his body.
Amen.
Praise the Lord! And everybody's portion is so precious. Okay, I'll get to that a little bit more in the next section. But anyway, this is good. So We want to be those preaching the gospel, first of all by praying, and listen, and then feeding others and perfecting others, and it's in coordination. If I'm in a locality where Matt is, maybe he and I are coordinating to do what? To contact somebody, to feed them, to help perfect them in little ways. And you know what? As you help perfect others, you get perfected. You know, the first one that gets perfected in a household is the mother. The mother's taking care of kids. She gets the most help just from trying to take care of all the kids. You get a lot of help about yourself. And a lot of perfecting goes on. Now, D, the Lord desires to recover the church meetings and mutuality with prophesying, speaking for the Lord, for the building up of the church. Let's read just one and two together. Just one together. Go. Prophesying is the... Amen. God desires that all would prophesy. And in 1 Corinthians 14, if you prophesy, if you speak for the Lord, speak forth the Lord, and speak the Lord into others, you know what happens? It says, there's, and then Paul uses many words. How about we read 2 with A and B and C? Okay, and 3, number 3, go. In 1 Corinthians 14, there are 13 terms used by... Paul uses 5 words. Pursue, desire... What? Let's repeat those 5 again. Pursue, desire, seek, and learn. Okay, and then B. Paul mentions... What are they? Building up, encouragement, consolation, convicting, examining... See? Paul says we need to use 2 organs... our mind and our spirit. And let's read 3 with a strong spirit because it's just a verse. He who prophesies builds up the church. Praise the Lord! So to take the God-ordained way is to take the way of building up the church in a very normal, healthy way through each member of the body functioning according to their measure. According to their measure. And this is for the increase of Christ, for the testimony of Jesus. Praise the Lord for prophesying. This is wonderful, brothers and sisters. And this means day by day we practice to get into the Word, to enjoy the Lord, to enjoy Him in the Word. And little by little something is constituted into our being so that we are not merely people who live just by inspiration, although we want to be sensitive to the Spirit all the time, but something is deposited into us. And we are ready. We have something. There's a little something I have to speak. A little something I have to speak because I have been enjoying the Lord according to this wonderful aspect of the truth in His Word. So this matter of prophesying. So we want to be those who practice day by day preaching the gospel, day by day feeding others, day by day perfecting others. This is our living. And day by day, week by week, prophesying. Prophesying may be in a big meeting, and it may be in a meeting of 5 or 6. We're speaking for the Lord, speaking for the Lord, and speaking Christ into others. Prophesying is a great matter. He who prophesies builds up the church. Praise the Lord! This last week in our locality, the last couple of weeks, in a prophesying meeting of the church, I take notes. I take notes for everybody who shares. I love it. And I tell you, what's spoken from little ones or ones that don't feel they have much, I get, nobody could repeat that. What comes out of each member is just not something that any one person can duplicate. All the sharings and the angles of Christ, the many faceted wisdom of this wonderful Christ is tremendous coming out of so many members. Praise the Lord! Anyway, the last 2 weeks there was about 45 who shared. 45 in a gathering of about 180 to 200. And I just marveled. I have it in my book where I just took all the notes. And the names are just, sometimes I didn't know a name, so I just put sister or brother. But I was just amazed at all the dispensing of Christ and the building up of the body through the speaking of all the members of the body. Praise the Lord! But anyway, saints, now I'd like to say this. These four aspects of the God-ordained way, the scriptural way, are what? We're not just depending on great evangelists. All of us are little gospel preachers. All of us are shepherds feeding. All of us are little shepherds and teachers perfecting. And all of us are little prophets. We're little prophets speaking forth the Lord and speaking the Lord to others. All of us. Now, I want to ask you a question. What do all four of these areas of the God-ordained way, the scriptural way to meet and serve, what do all of them require? One word. They require everyone? Yep, that's true. That's not untrue. What do they require? Huh? Would you say practice? Is that what? Practice? Yeah, that's true. That's also correct. What else? Yeah. Okay. We mentioned before enjoying the Lord is the root for everything. Enjoying the Lord. But I tell you, and even enjoying the Lord requires speaking. Amen. Speaking! Amen. Speaking! Amen. Speaking! We need to have a desire to never become silent before the Lord. Amen. Speaking. From the time we get up, it may not be loud, but, oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen, Lord. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Thank you for today. Thank you for my spirit. Speaking, all kinds of speaking. Amen, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you for everything. And sometimes you get up in the morning, you don't feel that good. This is that, not that good. But we would just start a life of thanking and praising. This is a life of jubilee. Praise the Lord! A life of ecstasy. A life in the enjoyment and celebration of who Christ is, not who we are. Our life is not based upon the weather, our mood, this and that, altogether based upon Christ and His marvelous accomplishment through His death. So we want to be those who practice all the time to enjoy Him in little ways. So speaking, speaking, speaking. And we've gotten help through the ministry to realize we need to speak. Speak to the Lord, speak with the Lord, speak about the Lord, speak the Lord to others. If there's nobody around, speak to the car, speak to the tree, speak to the bird, speak to the cat. Speak to the light in your room. Light, you are not the real light. Jesus is the light of the world. And we may kind of giggle about that. Say, well, that's kind of, I tell you, you practice. You practice. Speak. Speak, 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 speak. Speak, 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 speak. Speak, 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 speak. Speak, 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 speak. Speak, 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 speak. Amen! Hallelujah! Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Our wonderful Christ today is the life-giving Spirit. Now, chapter 5, let's read 14 to 20. Let's read 14 to 20 with a strong spirit. Ready, go. Therefore, it says, awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead. Yeah. Look, therefore, carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, and but be filled in spirit, speaking one another in psalms and spiritual songs, singing and psalming, giving thanks at all times for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus to our God and Father. Praise the Lord! On one hand, the footnote indicates speaking is the result of being filled in the Spirit with the Lord. On the other hand, speaking is the way to be filled. All kinds of speaking. Praise the Lord. What if I just get up and say, oh, no, another day. Oh, look what time it is. Oh, my goodness. Then my wife says something, and I say something back. And then there's a little groaning and a moaning. Then I go to the radio, turn on the radio, the news. Go to the TV, just watch the news. And you become a dead man. But you get up in the morning, oh, Lord Jesus, praise the Lord. Lord, I love you more today than any day in my whole life.
Amen.
I tell you, you practice. You practice. The more you speak, the more reality comes into your life.
Amen.
Reality comes into your life. So speaking to one, and even speaking eventually is to one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord. We want to be the ing people. Singing. Songing. And giving thanks at all times for all things. All things. All times. Amen. And then the result, brothers and sisters, is we are people who live a life according to the scriptural way to build up the body of Christ. Now let's read Roman numeral 2 and letter A, at least. Let's read Roman numeral 2 and all the points under it. Go. The God-ordained way. Verse up the vital groups. Of the vital groups made in Christ's wonderful shepherding in His heavenly ministry to bring the Lord's recovery as the constituents of the... We need to pursue love as the most... and to do anything. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we want to, like 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10, those verses that are mentioned, 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, okay? We got it? Okay, let's go. And let us consider one another so as to incite one another to love and good works, not abandoning our own assembling together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. Amen. Inciting one another, exhorting one another. Praise the Lord. So, in order to live this life of the God-ordained way, the scriptural way to meet and serve, we need a vital group living. And in a simple way, we don't have a lot of time, but a vital group living means, number one, I would be desperate every day to be a vital person. Every day I would do my best to get my being open to the Lord, open the three layers of my being. Okay, somebody tell me, what are the three layers of your being? Well, those are the three parts of your being. But what three layers do you need to be opened? Our mouth, our heart, and our spirit.
Amen.
Open up our heart, our mouth, our heart, and our spirit. Get our whole being opened. We need to be an open vessel. Praise the Lord. So we would be a person who is full of Christ. There's only one person in the whole universe who is vital. That's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Vital means living, active, fruitful. So wow, when we get opened up to Him, we become full of Him as the vital one. We become vitalized persons.
Amen.
And then along with this, we want to be those who are companionized. Brothers and sisters, we want to be vitalized and we need to be companionized.
Amen.
Vitalized and companionized. And I thank the Lord. My wife is my wife. She's also my sister in the Lord. She's also my member in the body of Christ. She's also my co-worker. And she's also my vital companion, one of them. And I'm so glad we take a walk around campus at UCLA or wherever. We use the time to fellowship things. We use the time to pray. We use the time to maybe sometimes contact people. Praise the Lord! We need to be vital, and we need to be companionized. So tell your neighbor, you need vitalized and companionized. And then what? When you're vitalized and companionized, then you become burdenized for people, and you get energized as a laboring priest of the gospel, and then you become fruitized. And the result is buildingized. Amen! So, the God-ordained way, the scriptural way, is not just me doing everything by myself, but in the way of a vital group living. And I think many of you may meet in homes, but as you meet in homes, even that meeting you have once a week should not just be a small group meeting. We need a small group living. The one brothers and sisters that are in that meeting, there should be a contact, a relationship through the week. This is a vital group living. Vital group living, where we're contacting one another, fellowshipping with each other, praying with one another for others. And this is all for the building up of the body of Christ. You know what happens? When I am practicing to be vitalized and companionized, it helps me to be a person who is burdened for the gospel. And it helps me to be a person who is able to feed others. And it helps me to be a person who is able to perfect others. And it helps me to be a person who is able to prophesy. I notice in our prophesying meeting on the Lord's Day, many times people stand up in pairs. They've been helping each other all week. They can't help it. And they become such a strengthening to each other. So, oh, I just take notes from them and I just marvel. And there have been people who come in who are unlearned. Just a couple of weeks ago, there was a couple, the husband of which has never visited America in his life. He's from Albania. His two daughters are gained for the Lord. One is serving full-time, and the other one is in the full-time training right now. And the mother and father come from a communist country, Albania. The mother has gotten gloriously saved. The father in this trip got gloriously saved. And all he wants to say is, oh, zot Jesus. Oh, zot Jesus. Oh, zot Jesus. He just wants to call on the Lord the whole rest of his life. And he says, when I get back, I want to just read the Bible every day. But anyway, he was in one of the meetings, and with translation, he just said, here's what he said. I was marveling at the words that came out of everybody's mouth. The Lord appeared to him through the speaking of the body. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, to take this scriptural way of preaching the gospel, of feeding others, perfecting others, and living a prophesying living. Amen!
Amen.
Speaking this wonderful Christ, speaking for Him, with Him, speaking Him into others for the building up of the body, we need a vital group living. We need a vital group living. Personally, do the best we can to open, to be vitalized, and then the Lord can companionize, and then we become burdenized, energized, fruitized, for the buildingized. Amen! Anyway, I'm putting together a lot in just a few minutes, but I think we we get this. Look at B. As the constituents of the vital groups, we need to participate in Christ's wonderful shepherding. Oh, before that, look at A. Matthew 18:15-22 talks about where two or three are gathered into my name. We need a living of twos and threes. We need a living of twos and threes. And this living allows us to take the scriptural way, the God-ordained way of announcing the gospel, of feeding, of perfecting, and of prophesying for the building up of the church. Then, look, B, as the constituents of the vital groups, we need to participate in Christ's wonderful shepherding in His heavenly ministry to bring the Lord's recovery into a new revival. John 21 again, which I referred to, you know, love and shepherd, is a wonderful section. And I love this, brothers and sisters. We need to have this view. I remember Brother Lee sharing this one time, that when the Lord was here as a man, He only did two things every day. He just loved God and He loved people. What a simple life. As you go to campus, I tell you, Spencer is at Carnegie Mellon. As he goes on campus, he just tells the Lord every day, Lord, I love You and I love everybody on this campus. Whatever school we go to, wherever place we go, whatever airplane we board, I love You, and I love everybody on this plane. We just live a simple life. And this allows us to be a person who is enjoying and participating in Christ's wonderful shepherding. And you know what will happen at your school? There'll be interaction with others because of your view. And it will happen wherever you go. This will really be the case. Now, Acts 20:28. I hope we would just, let's look at that verse. This will be a concluding verse. Acts 20:28. Could we read this together with a strong spirit? Thank You, Lord, for Acts 20:28. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among whom Holy Spirit has placed you as overseer, to shepherd the church of God which He obtained through His own blood. Amen. Shepherd the church of God means we would practice to render all-inclusive, tender care to others. We would be one with Christ, who is the good shepherd. We love Him. When you love the Lord, you love the shepherd. To love the Lord means you love the shepherd. And He loves to render all-inclusive, tender care to others. And this is for the sake of the church, the body of Christ, which He purchased. He paid the biggest price for, the price of His own blood. Amen. Okay, let's read in conclusion again. Let's read letter C. As the constituents of the vital groups, love as the most excellent way for us. Amen. The most critical thing is that as we would pursue a vital group living, the most critical matter is there's love among us. I love these three things, brothers and sisters. I love these three things. There's three words that are used in a footnote in John 15. Number one is the purpose. All of us, by being companionized with others, would have a purpose. That purpose is bearing fruit. That purpose is He would increase. And then number two, we would have a nature. And the nature is that our relationship with each other would be spiritual. It would be in the Spirit. And then number three, the condition among us, the condition between us the condition between us would be love.
Amen.
I love you, brother. He loves me. There's a condition of love. The purpose is fruit-bearing. The nature is in the spirit, not just natural buddy-buddy. And the condition is the Christ as our love between one another.
Amen.
We love one another. The Lord says, wow. Wow. When you have this condition, the Lord knows that we are His disciples. And there's a very, very strong testimony there. Brothers and sisters, I think this is my burden this afternoon. May we cooperate with the Christ whose person and work is being touched from eternity past through His incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, and everything about His person and work is for the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Now we would be those who love Him, enjoy Him, eat Him, drink Him, praise Him. Practice to enjoy Him, be one with Him, practice to be vitalized and linked up, companionized with others, so that we could be those who live a gospel-preaching living. We would be those who live a feeding living. And we would be those who live a perfecting living and a prophesying living, all for the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He must increase.
Amen.
So even in this meeting, He must increase.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we have a little bit of time. So we'll first of all just respond to your... How about we all stand up and just speak to a couple of neighbors around you. Anything that you enjoyed? Okay. Okay, saints, we can sit down. How about we take a few minutes, and rather than microphone, just wherever you are, just stand up and overflow a little bit. Anything you'd like to read, anything you'd like to speak... What you spoke to your neighbor was very good. And now we want to be those who stand against ourselves and speak forth Christ.
Amen.
So even this is a good opportunity. So don't forget about who you are, whether you're college, you're not college, you're university, you're not university, you're serving full time, whatever you're doing, forget about everything. May we just cooperate with Him. Take a few minutes to speak. Okay? Brothers and sisters, we want to speak until dinner time about baptism. Let's open our Bible to Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19. Tremendous portion here. Okay. Let's read this verse with our exercise spirit. Ready, go. Go, therefore, disciple all the nation, baptizing them of the Father
and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord, because our wonderful triune God has been processed and consummated. He is now the enterable God.
Amen.
I tell you, when you call on Him, He comes into you. When you get baptized, in a sense, you get put into Him.
Amen.
Because He's the wonderful, available, processed God, consummated. He is the enterable, baptizable into the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, my burden is this. There may be a number in this room who are saved. You have called on the name of the Lord, but you've never been baptized. Tonight, after the evening meeting, we want to have a time of baptism. And I hope many of you who have never been baptized, or just simply baptized as a little baby, not having any idea what's going on. Baptism is with a realization of what's happening. So, number one is this is very critical to our Christian life. The footnote in Matthew 28:19. Disciple, baptizing, disciple all the nations. One of the first steps to being discipled by the Lord is to be baptized. Is to be baptized. This is to testify, I am a disciple of Jesus.
Amen.
And baptized into the name. That's the person. It's not names, plural. The name. He's a wonderful, enterable, experientiable, contactable, touchable, wonderful, lovable, kissable, huggable, marvelous, triune God.
Amen.
And I tell you, the way you initiate your experience with Him is not only by believing and calling on His name, but by being baptized.
Amen.
Now, look at in the footnote. You may get lost, but under footnote 19.3, it's a long footnote, but there's on page 163, there's a few sentences I just want to read. This baptism has two aspects. The visible aspect by water and the invisible aspect by the Holy Spirit. The visible aspect is the expression, the testimony of the invisible aspect, whereas the invisible aspect is the reality of the visible aspect. Without the invisible baptism by the Spirit, the visible baptism by water is vain. Without the visible baptism by water, the invisible baptism by the Spirit is abstract and impractical. Both are needed. I believe everybody in this room believes in the Lord Jesus. I believe everybody in this room has called on the name of the Lord Jesus. So everybody has the invisible aspect of Christ as the Spirit within them. But what's the purpose of being baptized in water? The purpose of being baptized in water is to give a visible testimony of the invisible experience of receiving Christ. The first testimony that God asks you to give of the invisible experience of Him as the Spirit is to be baptized. So to be baptized into the water, although apparently it's water, but in God's eyes we're being put into Him as the wonderful life-giving Spirit. We called on Him, He got into us, we get baptized, we get immersed into Him. He and we and He get mingled to the uttermost. So invisibly, everybody believes, everybody has the invisible baptism of the Spirit, but now you need to give a visible testimony. This is not my word, this is God's desire. All of us should be baptized to give a visible testimony that I am in the triune God. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, one other verse. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. I love this verse. Let's read this verse also. And before I read this verse, later on in the same footnote, it indicates when we get baptized, in God's eyes, brothers and sisters, listen, you don't have to see it with your physical eyes. In God's eyes, because we take care of baptism in water, in God's eyes, you are baptized into, immersed into the triune God, into Christ, into the death of Christ, and into the body of Christ.
Amen.
So your visible testimony by being baptized in water is very, very critical. Very critical. When I began to see the truth about baptism, I'd been baptized many, many years ago, young. I got baptized again because I realized I didn't see any truth about baptism. And when I began to see the truth, whoa! I even had a cast on my leg, but I kept it out of the water. So I was just happy to get baptized. Okay, let's read verse 13, chapter 12. For also in one Spirit we were all
baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and were all given the same Spirit to drink one Spirit.
Amen. Then there's a wonderful footnote, 13:5, brothers and sisters. This is really wonderful. Bill, would you come up here? I know some others, but Bill and I are going to sing this. To be baptized in the Spirit is to get into the Spirit and get lost in Him. To drink of the Spirit is to take the Spirit in and have our being saturated with Him. By these two procedures, we are mingled with the Spirit. To be baptized in the Spirit is the initiation of the mingling, and is once for all. To drink of the Spirit is the continuation of the mingling, and is perpetual forever.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Hallelujah.
I love this, brothers and sisters. To be baptized is the initiation. Our need to be the body of Christ, to be the expansion of Christ, is to be mingled with Christ.
Amen.
The initiation into this mingling is by baptism. And when you're baptized, it puts you in the proper position to be a drinker. Come here, Spencer. Okay. If I baptize... He's in the deep end of a swimming pool, and he's underwater. If he's under the, I baptize him in the deep, it's very easy for him to drink. He just opens his mouth a little bit.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, this is a picture. Brothers and sisters, in God's eyes, when we're baptized, we're put into the Spirit.
Amen.
This is the initiation of the mingling, making drinking much easier, and drinking is the continuation of the mingling. And is perpetual forever and ever.
Amen.
So baptism is a great, great, great matter. I've seen many people, brothers and sisters, in my lifetime. Many of those ones I told you about that got saved, many of them got baptized. Baptism was a big step in their life to give a testimony of what's invisibly happened inside, and to initiate them into a life of mingling with Christ. So that they could be members of the body of Christ. So tonight, after the meeting, we will have a little bit more fellowship and an opportunity for any of you, maybe many of you, I don't know, who would like to exercise your spirit to believe, not only to believe, but to be baptized. To believe is step one. To be baptized is step two. Let's read Mark 16:16 in conclusion. Ready? Mark 16:16. Let's see. Okay. Go. That's it. Okay. The main thing to be saved is to be believe. Because the next portion of the verse says, he who does not believe shall be condemned. But it puts believing together with being baptized. Then you put it together with the other verses, you realize baptism is needed for the outward testimony of the inward experience of Christ. So, we want to be believers! And believers who give a testimony, that initial testimony is baptism initiating us into the mingling.
Amen.
So that we could live a life of mingling every second for the rest of our life.
Amen.
Isn't it easier for Spencer to drink when he's underwater? Very easy. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Baptism is the initiation of the mingling. Drinking is forever and ever, so that we would become the body of Christ.
Amen.
I think that's the... Any... Okay.